You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. Congressman Dan Kildee's decision to not seek the Democratic nomination for governor has changed the playing field for existing and potential candidates, and that includes Dr. Abdul El-Sayed. He'd stepped down earlier this year as Detroit's public health director to run for governor, joining a Democratic field, including former state Senator Gretchen Whitmer. Dr. Abdul El-Sayed with me now. Welcome to Stateside.
Honored to be here, Cynthia.
So you became Detroit's public health director only in the fall of 2015. Why leave so soon to run for governor?
Look, I was rebuilding an agency that was shut down when my city was facing municipal bankruptcy. We were rebuilding it around the well-being of children, some of the most vulnerable kids in our state. And I was watching as the same system of emergency management was poisoning the same kinds of kids I was trying to protect in Flint, doing my work in Detroit. And that was a big wake-up call for me. When you look at the system of government as business that the current administration has really touted, you see that it's not just public health that gets cut when you cut corners trying to cut costs. It's also the fact that you look at our economy and it has not leaned forward. It's losing its young, bright talent every year. I graduated from the University of Michigan in 2007, and I'm calling my classmates, and they're not here. They've made investments in building that future in places like Chicago and places like LA and New York because they don't believe in the future of our economy. And it's not just the economy. It's not just public health. It's you look at our public schools. We spend less per pupil per year than any other regional state. And you can see the effects on our test scores. Over the past 8 years, our test scores have gone up by the lowest amount of all 50 states. And it's not just that. It's the fact that we're told that we can either have our economy or we can have our environment, but we can't have both. That's in contrast to what we're seeing happen in China, where there is a boom in investments in renewable energies that don't wed us to a system of climate change and to poisoning our natural resources and are creating huge amounts of jobs. We could have that right here in Michigan, where we have tremendous amounts of both engineering and manufacturing talent.
What was the process? Where did the seed get planted and grow to say, you know what? I'm going to run for governor. I've never held elected office, but I'm running for governor.
Well, we've been able to build the Detroit Health Department over the time that I was there from an institution of 5 city employees and 85 contractors that sat in the back of the building where you pay your parking tickets to being a 5-campus, 220-person institution. We multiplied the funding for public health 10 times. And that took being able to work with diverse kinds of actors, to be able to get down in the trenches, find shared interests, inspire people to believe in what we could do as an agency, and then get stuff done. We built programs to give kids access to glasses free of charge at school. We delivered over 1,000 pair of glasses in the first 4 months of the program. We stood up to some of the biggest corporate polluters. We were told that there's no way that you're going to get them to change their policies. We forced Marathon Petroleum to reduce their emissions of sulfur dioxide, investing $10 million of their own money to do it. When we heard about the Flint water crisis, we realized that given the state of Detroit public schools, it may be that kids were exposed to lead in their own schools, the place that where we systematically concentrate our most vulnerable people most of the day, most of the year. And so we had them tested in 6 months, 360 schools. That protocol that we put together in 3 weeks, that's now model practice nationwide. I know what I was able to do leading an institution to believe in what was possible if we were willing to roll up our sleeves and get the work done. That's what state government needs right now. We have state government leadership that right now thinks of government as business, thinks of things like Flint as a write-off, as a liability. Government is about delivering a set of services that create opportunity for people who fundamentally need it. It needs people who believe in what it can do, believe in the value of the people it serves. And I know from my experience at the health department that I've been able to do that. And so I watched as our state was failing fundamentally. I asked myself what my responsibility to the moment was. And I realized that in a state where we have the single biggest man-made public health disaster in recent memory, as a doctor, my skills are needed. In a state where our public education system is failing, my skills as an educator, a former professor, are needed. I realized in a state that's the least transparent, one of the least accountable in the entire country, that my skills as a public servant are needed. And in a state that's failed to create opportunities for millennials, my experience as a millennial is probably needed. And so I realized that there was an opportunity here to be able to serve. And, you know, I grew up believing that in this country, when you're called to service, you serve. And so I hope I'm able to do that for my state.
I'm speaking with Dr. Abdul El-Sayed, who is Democratic candidate for governor. Now, you're 32?
I am.
You are Muslim. So if you win, you would be the youngest U.S. governor since Bill Clinton was elected back as governor of Arkansas, and you would be America's first Muslim governor. So what do you say to voters who look at you and have misgivings about either your age or your religion, especially since we're a state that went for Donald Trump?
Yeah. So on the age point, we have to remember that our first governor was Stevens T. Mason. He was 25 years old.
The boy governor.
when he took our state from a territory into a state. And I think young people bring a sense of purpose, a sense of enthusiasm, a sense of building the future that we're going to have to live. I don't have kids yet, and I worry a lot about whether or not my kids are going to have the same things that I had as the child of immigrants to this country. And I don't have to look very far, except for my own cousins, to know exactly what it was that the state gave me. An economy that employed both of my parents. Public education that allowed me to take advantage of some great opportunities that I got. I didn't go to private school until they paid me to do it in grad school. And, you know, a system where I could breathe clean air and drink clean water without having to fear. I worry about where that's going. And I know that I'm right now trying to fight for the kind of democracy that gave me the opportunities that I had that I hope my kids have too. And I think that comes with youth. And as for faith, you know, this is a country that was founded in an ideal that told us that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all people are created equal. Our First Amendment tells us that there shall be no religious test to citizenship and all that comes with citizenship. And I think right now, you know, as we've traveled this state, we've talked to people all over the state. You've been going all over. All over. 30 counties, nearly 50 cities, hundreds of rooms, thousands of voters.
Quite a listening tour.
It is. And what I've found as we've listened is that people are a lot less interested in how you pray than they are in what you pray for. I know that I pray for my family, my wife, Sarah, my parents, my state, and my country, like many people of faith, or no faith at all, pray for or hope for. And these are the kinds of things that I think unite us. And I know that as we have conversations about the challenges that our state faces, as we have conversations about the solutions to those challenges, I found that people are a lot more interested in what I have to say about that. Now, I'll tell you, I trained as a doctor. You know, and I had my fair share of patients while I was in training who didn't quite want to see a Muslim doctor. And I said, look, that's fine. I'm going to put my hands where you can see them. I'm going to sit in the corner and I'm going to ask you what's wrong. Just tell me about what's wrong and what hurts. And after about 30 minutes, they look at me and say, fine, you can put your hands down now. And I tell them, look, here's what I think we can do for you. In the case of one patient of mine at the VA, he waited after he had gotten discharged from the hospital. He waited around a couple hours until I was free. And he pulled me aside and said, listen, I'm really thankful that you took the time to listen. And you really, really cared about my care. And, you know, for that, I'm very thankful, especially given the way that I treated you. And what that taught me is that if you are willing to listen, if you are really about solving problems, then people don't really care what you look like or what your faith is. They care a lot more about what you want to do for them and their families. And I know that I come to this in the most honest way possible. I was never intending to run for office for exactly those reasons. But I realized that in a moment where our democracy is really suffering, where it seems like we're going back on our greatest ideals, ideals that have made us the greatest country in the world, that we have to come back to who we are as a society. And that's a group of people who've always been able to come together around challenges that we face them head on and solve them. And I hope that we can do that.
As you think about your campaign goals and policy initiatives, can you give us an idea of what you feel that your top priorities would be if you get elected?
Yeah, too many Michiganders right now feel locked out of our economy. It's an economy that's bent over backwards to accommodate large corporations that have largely either sent their jobs overseas or given their jobs to robots. And right now, there's a responsibility that we have to make sure that we're creating the means of an economy that allows everybody access and good jobs. So that is number one. We've got to think about what a 21st century economy looks like. That means quitting playing from a 20th century playbook, as the Snyder administration and too many administrations before him have done. Second, we have to fix public schools. And it's not just in places like Detroit or Benton Harbor or Flint. It's all over the state. We have to reinvest in our public schools. We have to be thinking about what universal pre-K can look like to create fertile minds that can take advantage of school. We have to make sure that there are opportunities beyond college for 1 or 2 year training programs for folks who may not be able to go to college. And then number three, we have to fix both our infrastructure and our environment, and we can do both at the same time. I was in the UP and having conversations with folks about the fact that they pay 50% more in electricity costs up there than we pay down here in the Mitten. And that's largely because it's hard to truck petroleum. Well, we don't actually have to truck petroleum. You know, if you look at the Keweenaw Peninsula, a lot of studies are telling us that would be the single best place that you could build wind farms. And that's where you have the crosswinds hitting each other to create the means of energy that's way cheaper to build opportunities for jobs and to free us of what has been right now a dependence on oil that leads to climate change and makes our kids sick. That is a big focus for us. And then finally, we have to make government more accountable. You know, you look at what happened in Flint, and it's clear that that leadership thought of Flint as just a write-off. Otherwise, they would have been in Flint. They would have been solving the problem. They would have been advocating far harder than they would have. That comes from a system of government right now that's just not accountable to people. It's overly gerrymandered, so not every election matters. It's not transparent because you can't really find out what's happening in the governor's office or with the legislature. And there's too much money in it. You know, a political action committee for a corporation can invest 4 times more per race in a state legislative race than it can in a federal legislative race. That's absurd. And I think Michigan's people know that. And so we have to fix those problems.
So how do you, as someone who's never held elected office, beat all of that, the system, going in, working with you talk about the gerrymandered system, working with state legislators. How do you see yourself doing that?
Well, look, when I walked into the Detroit Health Department on my first day, I had a lot of the same questions. How are you going to work in what was at that point and continues to be one of the hardest bureaucracies in the country? How are you going to get stuff done? And the point that I made is, A, we're going to build a culture. It's going to be about accountability, transparency, and collaboration. We're going to be honest about delivering the wins to the people who created those wins in state government. And if things go wrong, I will step up and take responsibility because that's what a leader does. And then it's about finding opportunities to work with folks across the aisle. And that's not just the representatives and the senators. That's also the people who voted them in. Because in the end of the day, our Constitution tells us that all political power shall be vested in the people. And if it's vested in the people, then the responsibility is to have a conversation with the people about what is in their best interests, to listen, to learn, and to deliver. And insofar as we are working to deliver a set of legislation that is in the best interest of the people, we will have that conversation with the people and the representatives. And one of our big responsibilities is to make sure that every election matters. Now, I'm running as a Democrat, but the reality is that anytime an election goes uncontested, what we are doing is robbing the people of the opportunity to choose. And so there's a responsibility for the Democratic Party, I think, to build up its farm team, for us to address the fact that we have one of the most gerrymandered states in the entire country and make sure every election matters. And when it comes time to push legislation, then we're going to have conversations with people in districts all over the state, as we've already been doing, about what is in their best interest and making sure that they recognize that there is a choice. And if they don't like the choice that they have, they should definitely come out in the polls for the next 2 years because they can make a choice again.
Dr. Abdul Al-Sayed, Democratic candidate for governor. Thank you so much for being with us, doctor.
Thank you for having me. It was a real pleasure.